KLC, the go-to place for New York Islanders hockey talk.
Welcome aboard the Isle Seat Podcast. Mike Carver here with you as the New York Islanders head into the All-Star break. They will have 10 days off, or do they need it? After a 4-2 win at the Garden over the Rangers on Tuesday night. A strong effort indeed, but plenty has happened heading into this break. We're going to talk about it all. We're going to take your calls today, get the pulse of some of the fan base here as they head into this 10-day off break, and they get ready for the second half starting next Saturday, February 1st, against the Vancouver Canucks at the Barclays Center. As always, you can listen to the show on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, TuneIn, and at the homepage at isleseat.com. Our great sponsors, of course, Oakwood Automation, Bright Building Services, Santorini Restaurant, the Main Street Board Game Cafe, and Accurate Precast Corporation. They take care of us. Please take care of them. Get your Isle Seat Podcast t-shirts at yesmenoutfitters.com. Devin has it all there. Sweatshirts, got some new hats in stock, which look outstanding, and he's got more stuff around the corner as well, so check out yesmenoutfitters.com. So the Islanders have hit now the All-Star break slash bye week, 10 days off. This weekend, the All-Star game is in St. Louis, and then the Islanders will not play until the Saturday after that against the Vancouver Canucks. And man, you know, this is a break that is absolutely needed heading into it here. And they finish it off Tuesday night with a win over the Rangers 4-2 at Madison Square Garden. Some good things in this game, and honestly, some bad ones too. I mean, there was a little bit of everything, kind of a microcosm of the last 4 to 6, you know, maybe even 8 weeks. You want to go deep here, 8 weeks of 500 play from this hockey club. And yes, they won, getting 2 power play goals. You love to see that. That was good with the way the power play's been going lately. Those came in the first period. And then you had other things too, like Matt Barzal not playing in the third, Scott Mayfield taking a dumb double minor late in the third that got the Rangers back in the game. Thomas Greiss was outstanding. That was a good thing, a 40-plus save night coming off of a great performance by him in Carolina on Sunday, too. So maybe after a couple weeks of Varlamov taking over here, maybe Greiss will be the guy after the break to get the first crack at carrying the ball here for a little bit. Another thing you want to chalk up in the good department is Barry Trotz winning another, or shall we say the Islanders' video goal team, winning another offside challenge. And honestly, that could have been a very huge swing in that hockey game, because it was 3-0 at the time. If they get that goal from Ryan Strome, it gets 3-1 with the Rangers getting a power play in the last 3 minutes of the second period. So nice job by the video crew. Trotz now 7 for 7. Every time since he's been Islander coach that he has challenged the offsides, he has won it. Shall we say they have won it, because those video guys, they're the ones who really deserve the credit. But the one big thing for me was after the game, and that's Barry Trotz talking with Shannon, and even with the scrum that he did with the reporters too. You know, he just looks spent. You know, him and the team just look spent. And I know they've played a lot of hockey. They had 5 games in a week. Barry brought it up. It's been a tough stretch for them. They've dealt with more injuries already this year than they had to deal with all of last year. But Trotz, man, that's the worst I'd seen him since he's been Islander head coach. I mean, that just looked like a guy who absolutely needed to get out of town for a few days. Not even just the Barzal thing, which he did bring up, and he gave you the stern, he knows why. We'll get to that in a second, but just Barry looking very exasperated and very done with what's been a tough stretch. And when you look at Barry after that postgame as they head into the break, and kind of just think about the last few weeks, and you know, there's a lot of frustration there, you could tell. And the Islanders are doing things that they did not do last year. Or shall I say they're doing it a lot more often. You know, there's been just spotty play. There's been blown leads. There's been bad periods. There's been bad penalties. There's just a lot of things that were not part of last year or the first 2 months of this year. And things have kind of gone awry here for a while. I mean, there's no joking around about it. I mean, they're 13-12-3 since that Monday before Thanksgiving, where they ended the 17-game point streak against the Anaheim Ducks out there on the West Coast. 13-12-3. You know, that is mediocre 500 hockey. That's what it is. And he looked like a guy who needed to get out of town. And it's such a switch from last year. Because last year during this All-Star bye week break, they went into it hot as a pistol, first place in the Metro, and you kind of wondered if that was going to hurt their game. And now a year later, they go into it needing the break in the worst way possible. And we'll see how they respond coming out of that break. But they do salvage the third game in 8 days against the Rangers. That's a good thing. But we do have to backtrack a little bit and start back at last Thursday, the late in the game loss to the Rangers. Because these are all things, you can look at things over the last four games leading into this break that are so uncharacteristic, so not normal of the Barry Trotz run Islanders. And I am not blaming Barry Trotz. I am just simply going to get to a point here, and that is that this team is very stale right now. Very stale. And they need a jolt. And just look at the last week to kind of figure it out. You go to last Thursday, the home game at the Coliseum against the Rangers. What's an uncharacteristic thing? Look, whether it's a penalty or not, the Broussard, you know, you can't do that. Was it a dive? Was it a hard? Yeah, it probably was, but you still can't do it. I don't care if it never gets called in the last minute of a game. I don't care. That's on Broussard. It just is. It's on Broussard. And dumb stuff like that is not characteristic of what has made this hockey team good for the last year and a half. It is not. And what happens? Bing, bang, boom. Rangers get a power play goal, and the Islanders go from getting possibly a point to getting zero in that game. Then you go to Saturday. Riding high, right? 4-1 lead over the Caps. You got Devon Taves all over the place doing the Kuznetsov bird wave, which Barry didn't like either, and neither did I. Once again, uncharacteristic of what this team has done over the last year and a half. Devon Taves cutting the mustard a little bit, getting a 4-1 Cap lead. And then what happened in the third? You know what happened. And what happened in the third was the absolute worst loss in a regular season here in a Barry Trotz era. The absolute worst. I don't care what game you want to put in front of me, you are not going to find a worse loss than Saturday afternoon against the Washington Capitals. Because they had a 4-1 lead, and they got absolutely smoked in their own building in the third period. Smoked. Embarrassed. Awful. We haven't had to say words like that a lot here in the last year and a half. We said them all on Saturday. Uncharacteristic of this team. That's the game that really did it for me. Carolina fought back. You get the lead goal. It's 1-1. They didn't play great in the first. But you know what? They fought back. Losing a shootout, it is what it is. That was a game you really had a bad feeling about going into off of that Cap game. And then they get the win Tuesday night at the Garden. But still, uncharacteristic things in the Garden game. Like we mentioned, the dumb Mayfield penalty. And you had Barzy getting benched, of course, also on Tuesday night. And you know what? I'll get to that for a second, because I know that a lot of people said, well, you know, Trotz, you know, he wants to talk about accountability, and he wants to say he knows why and call Barzy out, but there's other guys he doesn't do that with. And you want to know what? You might be right. Did he, do anything to Broussard after that dumb penalty on Thursday? No, he did not. Was Mayfield right back out there Tuesday night after the ridiculous spear? Great acting job by Lemieux, no doubt there, but well, he speared the guy. All right, he took a stick and he whacked him. Okay, did Mayfield sit? No, he did not. Trotz is harder on Barzy than most, okay? He just is. And for me, I am not going to question this coach. If he's something that he's going to do, I'm not going to question it. I understand it's Bench and Barzal. I get all of that. I don't question this coach. Is he harder on Matthew? Yes, he is. He's harder on him. He absolutely is. And maybe he just, you know, he's trying to harness and turn him into a great player. Maybe it's just that. Maybe that's what he's trying to do, and maybe he thinks that this is the button to push to do it. I'll take Trotz on it, okay? I'm just going to take his way. That's the way he wants to deal with Matt Barzal, that's the way he deals with him, is what it is. But he does treat him differently than everybody else with this stuff. He absolutely does. But Saturday did it for me. It just did. We listed off a whole bunch of uncharacteristic things in these last four games before the break, a crucial four games going in where they did not completely get the job done despite walking out with a good taste in your mouth after winning on Tuesday at the Garden. They did not get the job done going into the break, and they did not get the job done the last 2 months. So you want to wrap the little ribbon here on the first half of the New York Islander season. There was a good 2 months, and there was a bad 2 months. Okay? 500 hockey is not good. Was there good moments? Sure, there was good moments. 500 hockey is not good. And it included the worst loss since Barry Trotz has been here, which was last Saturday against the Washington Capitals. I still sit here today. It's almost a week later, and I still cannot figure out how they lost that game. I just can't figure it out. Cannot figure out how that team, the team that we saw last year, do it time and time again, how they lost that game, I don't know. But it just goes to one thing for me. I mean, just things are a little stale right now. Things are a little stale with this hockey team. You could talk about them being tired. I agree with Barry. They look tired. He looks tired. Everybody looks tired. Fine. You want to use tired as an excuse? That's okay. Go ahead. You go and use that. You want to tell me that they got injuries? You want to tell me they got some injuries? They do got injuries. They didn't have injuries last year. They got away scot-free last year. Go look at it. I mean, they didn't lose guys for big chunks. We're not counting Andrew Ladd here, okay? They did not lose guys who mattered for the whole year. Thomas Hickey got hurt. They upgraded with Devon Taves. Upgraded when he came in and replaced him. That was an upgrade. They have missed Cal Clutterbuck. Like it or not, they've missed him. Of course, it's only been six games. They miss Adam Pellick. They miss him. Bottom line, things are stale right now. This team needs a jolt. Big or small. I don't know what the jolt's going to be. We all have questioned the general manager. When are you going to make a move? I think that after that Cap game on Saturday, I don't care what happens Sunday and Tuesday. This team is stale. This team is not playing like they played the last year and a half. Something's missing. And it's time to try, even if it's something small at first, it's time to mix things up a little bit and give this team a little bit of a jolt. Internal, external, I don't care what it is. You see the Elliott Friedman report, 31 thoughts on Wednesday, that the Islanders possibly had something done with Travis Zajac and the Devils. Zajac does not want to leave the Devils. I'm sure callers will ask me about that, so I'll save that there, but I'll say this part of it. I mean, it tells you that Lou maybe, is getting closer to making some kind of a deal, that maybe he sees what a lot of us see, which I'm sure that he does, that this team does need a little something else. I know Travis Zajac does not blow your socks off. I'm sure we'll get into it. But it's a sign that, you know, maybe Lou's, like a lot of people feel, sitting on the hands. I don't care if it's internal either, okay? Whether it's Kiefer Bellows, who over the last 2 months you could say maybe deserves a shot. If you're going to give him the shot, it's got to be with guys who will actually help him. I don't know what the team, it's got to be something, though. There needs to be a little bit of a jolt. Things are stale for me going into this All-Star break. They need it bad. Team looks drained. Coach looks drained. Team is stale. They need a jolt. Will the 10 days off give them the jolt? Maybe it will. But right now, I think they need something. We've all known they've needed something for a while, but they need something even more right now. They need some kind of a jolt. Here's your numbers heading into the All-Star break, by the way. A couple numbers, some of them courtesy of Eric Hornick, of course, MSG statistician that he had in his skinny or that he's tweeted. A couple others, a couple Yes Men Mob members tweeted out at me. So there's a couple numbers here. You're going to the break 29-15-5. All right. You know, that ain't bad. It's good for right now, fifth in the NHL, if you believe it or not. Fifth in the NHL. Here's your real problem. Six of the top 11 teams in the NHL are all in the Metro. There's your problem. You want more numbers heading in here? How about Trotz's first losing month since he's been the Islander coach? 4-5-2 in January. First losing month. This little run that they've had, this month-long run where they don't leave the area except for the Carolina game on Sunday, a stretch that we talked a lot about a couple weeks ago is going to be so huge. 4-3-2 so far. 4-3-2. With three games at the Barclays against some Western Conference opponents coming out of the break to add on to that before a very long stretch of road games. How about since the 17-game point streak? 13-12-3. 13-12-3. That is a 500 mediocre, stale hockey team. That's what it is. Okay? Ups, downs, injuries, tired. Call it what you want. This is not a small sample size. This is 2 months of hockey. 13-12-3. Take it from the Monday before Thanksgiving. That's what you got. That was 2 months ago. As we hit the All-Star break. How about without Cal Clutterbuck? 6-7-4. 6-7-4 without Cal Clutterbuck. And you want to say, you know, Mikey, Cal Clutterbuck, he doesn't do much. You know, he's a fourth-line player. He plays without that. You know, the line's not the same without him. And here's something that also maybe we should start considering, too. He's a big part of the room. He's a big part of the day-to-day. He's a voice in the room. He's a veteran. I know he's not the captain Anders takes care of that. He's a voice in the room. Maybe it matters, not having Cal around. Maybe it does. I'm looking at anything right now with how uncharacteristic this team has played. Adam Pellick is a very small sample size. 6 games, 2-3-1. Noah Dobson has played all those games. That has been surprising to me. That's been surprising to me. Here's another fun one that people had some fun with, some of the Yes Men mob crew. 10-9-3. That's since Radar left and Torrey took over dog duties at the Islander home games. So there's a fun one for you. You want a little fun? 10-9-3 since Radar left. So you want to go kidnap Radar, get him back, whatever you want to do. Look, you could spin all the numbers whatever way you want. You're 4 months into the National Hockey League season. You've had two really good months, really, really good months. That's kept you where you are right now. And you've had two mediocre 500 months. That's what you've had. And now you hit the stretch run. You get 10 days off. They all need look like they need to recharge. Get recharged because you got a big stretch coming. You're still in the mix here. You're not dead. You're not going to, you know, nobody's saying they're not making the playoffs. But, man, it takes one bad week with the way this Metro's going that you could be out of it and be really scratching and clawing. The staleness for me is a problem and the uncharacteristic play, especially the way going into the break. The last four games, there's just so many moments that just make you scratch your head and say, where is the team that I watched last year? They're the same guys. But there's a couple of small pieces missing. And maybe, you know, it's a bigger deal than a lot of us think. Much bigger deal. Team needs a jolt. Team needs a jolt. I'm sure we're going to talk more about that right now. We're taking calls because as we head into the break, we check the pulse of the fans. We see how everybody is feeling. It's a shame we didn't do this after the Washington game on Saturday night. If we did a little Isle Seat podcast, I probably would have been a little bit different too. You could have got some real vintage Mike Carver Isle Seat podcast if you would have got me after that Washington game on Saturday. But you got a couple days after that, a couple games played. The steam has come out a little bit. But still, not happy as the Islanders hit the break. A 500 team for the last 2 months. Not good. So let's get the fans' thoughts on all of it. Let's kick things off with Ian in Manhattan. Ian, how are you?
Welcome aboard, Mike.
Yeah, there you go, Ian. I like to hear that kind of an energy here as we close out the first half of the NHL season. What's happening?
So first, last night I was at the Garden, my buddies Bennett and Evan, and I know it's a game in January, and I know it's against the team in the bottom of the standings. But, boy, it feels good walking out of the Garden after a victory.
Yeah, listen, that's a good way to walk out of there. And those Islander-Ranger games are tricky when you go with your friends that are Ranger fans. And you got to, whether you're at the Coliseum or Barclays or at the Garden, you know, you're with a bunch of your buddies. And, you know, the loser's always going to walk out of there definitely hanging the head low. And that's good that you got to go to the one where the Islanders won. And you could kind of give them the business as they head out the door.
Exactly.
Got a little dicey at the end, though, Ian. Did get a little dicey?
Yeah,
at the end.
You know
that happens.
Maybe I was a little soft on that penalty, though. Yeah.
Well, look, did Lemieux do a little bit of a good acting job there? Yeah, he did a good acting job, but that was still pretty stupid from Mayfield. Still dumb,
yeah.
but a good acting job as well.
Yeah, I can't think Coach Trotz was too happy with that one.
No, well, I talked about this earlier, Ian. I mean, you look at the guy in the post game. Honestly, have you ever seen, I mean, Trotz only been here a year and a half. Have you ever seen him like that in a post game? The guy just, you talk about a guy who needs to get to the Caribbean for 5 days. I mean, Barry Trotz just, he looks so run down, tired, exhausted, just everything. That guy needs this break more than the players probably.
Well, let's hope he puts some sunscreen on that head he's got there, all right?
I'm sure he will. what do you got, Ian? What do you got?
Speaking of Trotz, I had a question. You know, as I was growing up playing, one of my coaches I had changed the lines all the time, and I felt we could never get any chemistry and no gel going. And it seems like Trotz changes the lines all the time. So I just kind of want to get your thoughts if you think that has anything to do with the scoring problems the Isles have been having all year.
Yeah, you know, it's hard because here's why I guess he kind of jumbles it a little bit. First of all, he's at a disadvantage right now because he doesn't have the one line that he normally doesn't have to screw around with. You know, normally he doesn't have to screw around with Cizikas, Martin, and Clutterbuck, and they're not there. They really haven't been together all year. So that's been a bit of a problem for him, too. He's had to juggle four lines as opposed to three. And the second part of it is, you know, I think he just moves them around so much because when you look at all these guys, Ian, they've all kind of had a turn playing together. So it's not that unfamiliar for them. You know, when you take their top guys, whether it's Barzell, you take Lee, you take Bavilia, you take Eberle, you take Nelson, you know, they've all kind of had a turn around the merry-go-round playing with each other. So there is some comfort level there with all those guys. Would you like to see him stick with one? When, you know, when they get on a little scoring run, it seems like he does stick with them for a bit. But I think he knows that because everybody's kind of interchangeable and they've all been around for a while now together, even before Barry was here, I think that that gives him a little bit of, you know, confidence knowing I can mix and match a little bit because it's not like I'm throwing guys together for the first time. They've got some familiarity with each other. And, you know, I can just try to see if I can find a spark. I think that that's kind of what he does with those top guys.
Yeah, and I can't imagine the injuries make it any easier when you guys got guys coming in and out all the time.
No, that doesn't help either. And you know, this is one thing, too. You know, they were injury-free last year. You know, they really were. They got through last year pretty much injury-free. A couple bumps and bruises here and there. Hickey obviously went down, but they kind of upgraded when they got Devon Taves instead of him. But this year has been a much different story, and you're not going to get through an NHL season 2 years in a row like they had last year in terms of injuries. You're just not, and they have definitely felt the brunt of that a little bit here.
Yep. And one more for you, Mike, before I let you go. I just wanted to know if you thought that maybe Lou wasn't going to be going for some short-term rental. I know you talked to Foley, you talked J.G. Pageau, and maybe he's got something up his sleeve where he's going for someone with a little more term so that when he gives up these assets that you got to get a guy at this time of the year, you know, maybe it's someone who sticks around for a little bit longer, especially with the issues we have signing free agents.
Yeah, look, if you can get a player, you know, who like that, who's got some term, those guys are hard to get, especially if it's a younger player, you know, somebody 25 to 30, you know, in that area. If you can get somebody like that that's got 2 or 3 years left on their deal, it's going to cost you a lot more. There's no question about that, but it's an avenue that you do have to explore. For me, and I explore every avenue right now, if there is a player available who can improve this team, whether they're going to be a free agent this summer, and we've talked till no end about the small list of guys that that's going to be, to guys who have 1 year, 2 years, 3 years left on their deal, if you get a call and a player like that is available, you should try to make that move if you think that they're going to be a fit. So if I'm Lou, and I'm sure Lou's sitting there doing this too, you know, you heard it, and this is obviously smaller scale because he's older, but you heard the Travis Ajak thing today from Elliot Friedman. He's got a year left after this year, so it seems like Lou is poking around for guys maybe that are going a little bit longer than just going to be a UFA this summer, Ian. So it's definitely something to look at.
Yeah, let's hope something gets done. We need a little
they need something, Ian. They need something. They need a little jolt right now. They absolutely do. Well, so
love the show, Mike. Thanks,
Ian.
For
thanks so
me
much
on.
For listening,
it.
Man. And do call again, okay?
Will do.
Janine in East Rockaway. Janine, how are you?
All right, Mike. How you doing?
Good. What's up? What do you got?
I've held out for a long time. I try to be glass half full Isle fan, but you know, it's starting to get to me, everyone, you know, making some decent points about how Lou has made only four moves, like four trades since he came on. And I don't know, I get it because I don't know what he's supposed to do. I don't know which players in the current roster are you going to sacrifice to possibly bring someone in who may help with the scoring, like,
right.
Are you going to give up more than you're going to get? I get it. I don't know what we're supposed to do, but it also, doing nothing seems kind of stupid also.
Yeah, for me, Janine, right now, and I said it in the open today, is, you know, it's getting a little stale for me right now. You know, it's just, listen, the last year and a half, it's been fun. The team has been winning, but there's just so many things over the last, you know, 4 to 6 weeks that just, I don't know, that I'm with you. It's just kind of bothering me a little bit right now, and it's hard to see. And I just feel at this point, any kind of change, big or small, with the roster to kind of mix things up would be helpful because there just seems to be a lot of frustration, a lot of staleness a little bit. I mean, they're playing 500 hockey now for 6 weeks. I'm with you, Gene. I just think whether the move is big or small, there needs to be a little bit of something right now.
It's just the big move scares me because it could shake things up in a way that is not positive.
You're scared of the big move. You're scared of a big move happening because you do like what's happening here long term.
I do. It's, you know, having seen some things.
We've all seen some things.
It's hard to complain that much, but I do. Like I said, I'm starting to seep in.
Right, right. But it's understandable, and I get it. And listen, the Islander fan, as we know, has a very, you know, a tough memory. There's a lot of bad times that even when it's been good, like it has been for a year and a half, there's always bad times that are going to creep in, and you don't want to go back to those. And you feel like making a big change could get you there. But I think if it's the right kind of big change, Janine, it can be helpful.
And I do. I think that's the thing about Lou is that I do trust him. If it is a big change, it's not going to be like a willy-nilly, like,
right,
you know,
right. No,
I pants thing, it'll be
yeah,
real.
I think that there's something that, I'm just saying at this point, something should happen because it's not, you know, waiting for the right, I get you want to wait for the right move. And even if it has to come internally, I think there needs to be some kind of change. I mean, whether it involves bringing kids like Wahlstrom or Bellows and giving them a chance, you know, I just think that there needs to be something injected into this team right now because it's just a little stale to me. You know what I mean?
Yep, agree.
Janine, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Next up, we go out to Jersey. Mike is there. Mike, what's happening, pal?
Hey, Mike. Happy New Year, buddy.
What's hey, same to you.
On?
Same to you, bro. What's up?
Hey, thanks for having me on, bud. Just, you know, real quick, I just want to get your thoughts on what's been going on here. I'm sure a lot of guys are asking the same thing. I got to say, I am a little concerned about the way the team's been going the last couple of weeks. A lot of 500 hockey, but what's concerning me the most, and listen, every team goes through these stretches, right? You're not going to go 16-3-2 every, 20 games during the course of the season. But
right.
I think what's concerning me, Mike, is the team seems to have abandoned a lot of what's made them successful over the last year and a half, and whether it's the defensive zone structure, just the way they're playing the game, the stupid penalties they're taking. I don't know what's going on with Matt Barzell, but he seems to be in Trotz's doghouse a lot more than I've seen before. So I don't know if they're just in this little funk. I think they need the week off for the All-Star break. This is still a playoff team. To me, this is still a top three team in the Metro, but there are just some things going on right now with the team that just really concern me with the structure and just where their heads are at. And I just, you know, again, I wanted to get your opinion on if you think, you know, this is a bad trend right now, or this is just something they got to shake out and then we're going to be good going through the rest of the season.
Yeah, you know what, Mikey, I said it earlier and in my open, and it's just I think there is something to be a little concerned about. I think there is, because you're seeing things over the past couple of weeks that are not very characteristic of what this team did all of last year and for the first 2 months of this season. They're doing very uncharacteristic things. You can look, Mikey, just at that Ranger game on Tuesday night. Even though they won that game 4-2, you know, there's a lot of things in that game that is not very characteristic of this Islander team, whether it be the dumb Mayfield penalty at the end, whether it be the way Barzell gets benched and doesn't play the third. The structure has been a problem, as we know. And I know that you said weeks. I mean, let's be fair here, Mike. It's months.
It's
months now. You're working on 2 months now of straight up 500 hockey. I keep going to it. 13-12-3 since the point streak. So, I think there is some concern. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I mean, look, are they missing two, you know, relatively big pieces? And I know that when you say the names Cal Clutterbuck and Adam Pellick, it doesn't really, you know, you don't want to jump out and be like, man, you know, they should be winning. Who cares if they don't have those guys? No, I think it does make a bit of a difference. And Pellick's only been six games, but you can see the difference on the back end with him not out there. And Cal, you know, he's a big part of that room, not just on the ice, but in the room too. So I think that there is something going on here, Mikey, that – do I think they're going to miss the playoffs? Is it that kind of concerning for me right now? I'm not ready to go there yet. I don't, even through all this, and obviously 17-game point streaks do this to you, even through all this, they're still going into the All-Star break with the fifth most points in the NHL, which is bananas to think about, because they've looked like a 500 team for 2 months. They have flat out looked like one.
You bring up a good point too, Mike. This isn't a, you know, Alex Ovechkin led team. You know, where it's like, okay, this team is driven by superstars.
No, there's a team effort.
They have to have everybody in the lineup, and I think Cal Clutterbuck not being there hurts them, because that fourth line is. Listen, Suzuki just drives that line.
But it hurts
together,
it hurts him off the ice, too, Mikey. I 100%. Think it hurts him off the ice. They need him in that room. He's a big part. He's a veteran presence. And I know that people probably make too big a deal about this. I think that it is a big deal. It's a big deal that he's not in there day in, day out right now. He's one of the guys that leads the team. I know Anders is the captain, but Cal's one of the guys who leads the team.
Yeah, but I mean, what kind of my thing is, what kind of shakeup can you do, right? You're not going to change anything with the coaching staff or the front office, right?
So, no, I mean, that's not being changed.
It should not be changed. But what they just need, like, kind of some kind of slap to the face, and I don't know. I mean, even Trotz's post game, I was at the game.
I've brought this up now, Mikey, with a couple callers. And I brought it up at the top here. I have never seen Trotz in the year and a half he's been here look like he did in that Ranger post game. He just looked like I said it to the last call. He looked like a guy that just needs to get to the beach for 5 or 6 days and not think a thing about hockey. It is just worn on him. What's gone on? Whether it's just the on ice play behind closed doors, who knows what's happening? But you could tell, and you could tell from him. I know that he tried to spin it. Like, he didn't, you know, think that he needed anybody else, but him bringing up in the morning skate yesterday that, you know, teams need the go-to guy or whatever was the line that he said, Andrew Gross tweeted it, you know, and then he tried to say, well, yeah, I think I do have those guys. Him bringing that up unsolicited means that he doesn't think he has those guys. So
It's on Lou to do something about it, and I just don't know who's going to be out there this March or February, but Lou's got to do something about it because, to your point, this team still has the fifth most points in the league. You can't miss the playoffs. That'd be a collapse.
No, no, they can't do that. No, listen, and they absolutely cannot do that. Not with the way that they went here, Mikey, with the 17-game point streak and where they were sitting in late November. They missed the playoffs. That's going to be on everybody. It's going to be a bad job from top to bottom. Everybody will get blamed for that. More than Lou, even. I know Lou will get the blame if they don't make a deal, but everybody gets blame if this team doesn't make the playoffs because they're good enough to. And if this trend continues, who knows? But we'll see.
Yeah, and hey, normally I would complain about this, Mike, but they don't see NASA Coliseum again until the end of February, and maybe getting away from that place ain't the worst thing right now because they haven't played well there.
In fact, I saw that they're like 7-2-1 in their last 10 road games. Like, they've played well on the road, they're going to play a lot of road games in February and March, so get used to the road. They got that monster road trip that they've got in the middle of February where they're going to Nashville, Arizona, Colorado, Vegas, that is a monster road trip that they have. So a lot of road time coming. Sometimes that's good for a team to get on a nice long trip like that or a break like this they really need. It's such a difference, Mikey, from last year where they went into that all-star slash, you know, bye week break where they were hot as a pistol and we thought it was going to hurt them. And now this year, we can't wait to get to the break because they need it so bad. It's such a what a difference a year makes, you know.
Oh, and listen, man, every year we seem to doubt this team at some point. Every year they, they've kind of bounced back. So
yeah, we'll see.
Bounce back after the All-Star break. But Mike, thanks for having me on, buddy. I appreciate it.
Mike, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, later, man.
We've got a couple more calls, a lot more to do. The Aisle Seat Podcast rolls on right after this. The Aisle Seat Podcast is brought to you by Oakwood Automation. If you are looking to leverage modern technology to control your home or business, Oakwood Automation Systems has you covered. Put control over your alarm system, surveillance cameras, home theater, indoor and outdoor audio, and so much more in the palm of your hand. For more information, go to oakwoodautomation.com or find us on House and Facebook by searching Oakwood Automation. Bright Building Services. Bright Building Services is a full-service commercial cleaning company serving businesses throughout the New York metro area for over 22 years. With clients spanning all sectors from boutique fitness and corporate headquarters to laboratories and medical facilities. Contact them for all of your commercial cleaning needs. For more information, please visit brightbuildingservicesny.com or check them out on Instagram or Facebook at Bright Building Services. That's Bright, spelled B-R-I-T-E. Santorini Restaurant. Santorini is family-owned and operated for over 20 years and offers a variety of the best gyros, salads, and signature Greek dishes sure to please. Located at 133 Merrick Avenue in Merrick, New York, Santorini Restaurant, it's all about family. The Main Street Board Game Cafe in Huntington Village on Long Island's North Shore. Unplug your game. They have a huge selection of hobby and family strategy board games for sale,
From old favorites to the newest releases, a library of over 400 board games for open play every day. A board game and RPG after school program for grades 1 through 12. They do Magic the Gathering, Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, Warhammer, and Dungeons and Dragons events and tournaments, birthday parties and corporate events. Come in for food and drink, coffee and desserts, beer and wine, and of course, fun and friends. The Main Street Board Game Cafe at 307 Main Street in Huntington Village. Go to MainStreetBoardGameCafe.com for more information. Main Street Board Game Cafe, unplug your game. Accurate Precast Corporation is a family-run business, and they've been getting it done for over 20 years. Accurate designs and manufactures custom concrete building materials for commercial and residential applications throughout the entire tri-state area. Architectural cast stone, bands, cornice, lintels, entry and window details, ornamentals, sills, trim, custom designs. They do it all at Accurate. Accurate's production facility is located at 1957 Pitkin Avenue in Brooklyn. Stop by or call them today at 718-345-2910. Check out all their work right now and follow them at Accurate Precast Corp. on Instagram.
This is Ryan Pollock, and you're listening to the Aisle Seat Podcast.
And we're back, the Aisle Seat Podcast. Mike Carver here with you. We are taking fan calls as we have hit the first half break. 3-2-1. We are taking fan calls as we have hit the All-Star break, the bye week break, 10 days off for the New York Islanders. We've got a few more calls here. Let's right now go out to Rich Z in Floral Park. The great Rich Z. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, buddy. What's cooking?
So, you know, I know everybody's, you know, scrambling about, you know, oh, we got to do something, we got to do something. And, you know, I don't want to make excuses, but I just have to point out how I feel like the timing of what the Islanders need and what the Islanders have going on is just like the worst timing, because there's so little on the market, I feel, compared to other years. And the competition in the Metro and the Eastern Conference, for that matter. I mean, the East compared to the West right now is ridiculous. And here the Islanders are, they're looking great. They're playing out of sight under Barry Trotz. And boom, now everybody else is playing great. The Islanders need a piece of something. They just need that little juice. And guess what? There's like no free agents coming up. There's hardly any rentals out there. And I can't remember the last time I saw the market so dry.
Yeah, it's a big problem, Rich. You know, there isn't a lot out there. I've made this point a few times. The names that were available last year at the deadline, most were moved. Of course, one wasn't in Panarin. But the names that were floated out there a year ago, I mean, those names just are not there this year. They're just not. And are there helpful players? Yeah, there are helpful players. Tyler Toffoli can help. We've mentioned him a lot. Pageau from Ottawa, we've mentioned a lot. You know, there are guys that can help, but the, you know, impact player, the, you know, game-changing player is not there. But this team does need some kind of a change, Rich. The theme with me for this show is just, you know, things are a little stale right now. I just feel like they need to... something's got to change. The coach looked a little, you know, run down and tired at the end of that Ranger game, and I think everybody needs this break badly. But things are a little stale with this club right now, Rich. And whether it's from from the inside or from the outside, I think something's got to be done, big or small, just to kind of give somebody a little bit of a jolt here and to make things a little different. But you're spot on in the fact that you know, the names just aren't there, and a lot of teams are still in it right now because you're still in late January. So a lot of teams are still in the mix. And even when teams fall out, I mean, who's the big player that's going to be available? Just who is it?
Isn't it Thomas Tatar?
Yeah, you know.
He's not even that big, you know.
Right. I mean, look. Do a lot of these guys that we talk about, are they better than some of the guys that the Islanders are trotting out there? Of course they are. There's guys that are upgrades over Ross Johnston. There's guys that are upgrades over...
Leo Komarov. There's guys that are upgrades over Tom Kuhnhackl. You know, Michael Dal Colle. There's guys on the roster that can be upgraded. There's no doubt about it. But when you're looking for the game-changing player, Rich, I'm not having a good time finding where that player is right now. That's for sure.
Yep. And just a quick update.
Really fast update, because I saw some article today that, which I'm not going to get too into it today, because who cares? The arena's being built. I mean, look at the pictures. I mean, they're building it at light speed. But I did see the thing where they said that everybody's mad because this was, you know, as we all thought, in the bag, you know, even like months and or years before they even did the, you know, the proposal or whatever it was. So whatever, too bad.
Yeah, they're attacking the process instead of the merits. And, you know, when somebody's attacking the process instead of the merits, that they've got a losing argument. And we see it's going up like lightning. I pass by it, you know, every week, and it's just beautiful to see.
Buddy, it looks great. The pictures that, 880 Tom Kaminsky keeps putting up on the chopper, those look outstanding. They're really building it quick, and they better get a move. You know, they've only got, 18 months? You know, somewhere in that area, they got to get that thing finished. So it's fun to see. I don't really care. The articles like that today are like, why even read them? They're not stopping. Guys, the building's going up. I mean, who cares? You want, you know, let those politicians and all those people, let them go fight in a room somewhere. It ain't going to shut down.
Yeah, they're wasting my village tax dollars.
Well, right. It's not going to stop the arena from being built at this point. So, boo-hoo. You know, get over it. Rich, always fun. I'll talk to you soon.
Great talking to you, Mike. Thanks a lot.
Next up, we go down to North Carolina. And Christina is there. Christina, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Lovely. Did you go to the game on Sunday?
Yes, I did.
Good time. Mikey, Justin, and everybody down there does a great job. So I hope you were with everybody in the group there and you partied with those guys.
Sure did.
Good. Good to hear. Go ahead. What do you got for us?
So, you know, I think it's really interesting that the first period of play in Carolina was one of those periods that you kind of watch through your fingers, just hoping that they get going, that they get back to the play that they were playing when they went on that big point streak. And you know, they were doing the typical sort of dump and chase and not standing up at the blue line. You know, Carolina was carrying in every other possession. And you just have those moments of, is this going to be the new normal? And it's a great time to be an Islanders fan, but I think as Islanders fans, we always have those moments of, are the wheels coming off now? Or
right, you never know when it's going to happen.
So I think it's just, it's kind of a crazy time to be a fan, because you talked about the missing pieces and what are we going to do about that? And you know, Barry Trotz is clearly just an incredible coach based on how he got the guys to just come out of that locker room in the second period and own it. And I think that's such a rare find.
It is. And you know what it is, Christina, and you bring up a good point, because what's been really been missing over this last couple of weeks and months, you know, since they played so well in the first 2 months of the season, is that consistent 60-minute effort, you know, where, like you said, you'll get a period that it looks so bad, and then you'll follow that up with such a good period and a bad period. And that's where I think that things have kind of just gone awry here, because, you know, when they won games last year, for the most part, it was consistent efforts, throughout the 60 minutes. It's what made them the team that they were, that got them to the playoffs, that beat the Penguins. You know, it was consistent, full team, 60-minute type of efforts. And you've just seen too many games this year, or more specifically in the last 2 months, like we're saying, where there is that one-off period and it cost them. And I mean, geez, you know, like you said, you just got to look at this weekend. I mean, Sunday, the first period in Carolina, they weren't sharp. We don't have to talk about the third period against the Capitals on Saturday afternoon, because we sure know how bad that went. It's
or last night.
Right. Even last night in the third. You're right. You know, they build a 4-0 lead, and before you know it, it's 4-2, and the Rangers are just clawing at the door, you know, to get a couple more at the end. So, and I think that that's why the coach, kind of just looked like he did after the game. It's just the way that, you know, it's just kind of the way things are going right now, Christina, and they need in the worst way to get back to finding that game. And I know that they're not completely healthy, and I know that there's things that they need, but the guys that are there that have been there through this whole ride since Trotz and Lou got here, you know, they just got to buckle down a little bit and get back to their game and get back to their game that they play it for the whole way. You know, that's what they need to do right now, you know?
You know, the coach is holding them accountable, though. And you see it in the fact that he was willing to sit Barzell last night.
Yeah, I do agree with you. That's and he's a little bit harder on Maddie than other guys, I think. And I think that the reason why, and a lot of people were upset about this, and I didn't bring this up earlier, and, you know, I think a lot of people are upset because they see something like what Broussard did in the Ranger game last Thursday towards the end, which, whether it's a penalty or not, who cares? You know, he still took a penalty, and the Rangers ended up scoring, and they lose the game. Or what Mayfield did at the end of the game on Tuesday night. And people say, well, he's not holding them accountable because Mayfield was back out there in the last 2 minutes of that game on Tuesday night. You know, he missed the empty net the one time. You know, he was back on the ice. So I get where you're saying it seems like he's a little bit harder accountability-wise on Maddie. And I think that it's kind of like, you know, he sees so much in him, and he knows how good he can be. And it's kind of like what he did with a little bit, what he did with Ovechkin in Washington. I don't think to this extent, because Matt's a much younger player than when he had Alex in Washington. Alex was so established and a superstar and a multi, you know, MVP, things like that. But I think he sees what Matt Barzell can be. And I think that that's why maybe he's a little bit tougher on him than the rest of the guys on the team.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing that I always think of is, like, when Trotz runs a system that is so team focused, and when you've got anybody stepping out of line of that, it mucks up the whole system. And it seems to me that when he has an opportunity to show his players that it doesn't matter who you are, I'll sit you.
Right. No, and that's a good thing. You know, that is that's a good thing. And you like to see that type of accountability from him. And he's just got to, Christina, get everybody rounded up here when everybody gets back from vacation, and find a way to get
well
back
rested.
To that. Right. Well rested, and find a way to get back to that 60-minute game. Christina, thanks for calling.
Sure.
I appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Next up, we go out to Andrew from Atlanta. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's not Andrew from Atlanta. It's Vin in Brooklyn. Hi, Vin. How are you?
Good evening, Mike. How are you?
Yeah, little Andrew from Atlanta, buddy. There you go.
One vote from unanimously being considered the best Islander podcast of them all.
Yes, thank you very much. And for those, I'll let everybody in on the inside. And Vin, of course, Andrew Jones, Hall of Fame. I didn't vote for him in the fictional WFAN poll, so he gave me the business on Tuesday. But that's okay. Andrew Jones isn't getting in the Hall of Fame anyway. So away we go, Vin. Let's get to the Islanders. What do you got, my friend?
Well, you know, I mean, I was all set to come in hot, but the last two games sort of reminded me that this team is basically exactly where you and I said they were in September.
Yeah.
They are going to be a playoff team. They're going to be, as it stands now, a little lower than last year and a little lower than we'd like, potentially to no fault of their own. The Metro is just that good. Like, people don't want to hear it, but every team in that division wins every night.
Right. No, it's an absolute I can't believe it, Vin. Some nights when I'm watching other games or I'm looking at scores and the Metro is just you look at it right now, because I was looking earlier with, you know, couldn't just still stunned that the Islanders are fifth in the NHL in points. I just can't believe it. And you look at it, I mean, what is it, 5 or 6 of the top 11 teams in the NHL, the entire league, 6 of the top 11 are from the Metro Division, Vin. It's insane at the break here.
And let's call it like it is, because we both had the same assessment of these teams. I think Carolina and Pittsburgh are unfortunately right where we knew they'd be. They're still well-run hockey organizations.
No question.
The team that Philadelphia's outperforming a little bit. I need to see a little more, because they did this for 3 quarters of last season and took a turn on the carpet the final stretch. So we'll chill on that. The one I got to give respect to is Columbus, man. I thought they were going to be, you know, a tire fire, and they're tough. They're really tough. All that said, you know, the tide around the boat is pretty high. It would help if the GM made a move. And then I read, 31 Thoughts here, and it's Travis Zajac. I'm sorry. Was Mike Komisarek, Chris Higgins, or Bobby Nystrom's plug kid unavailable? Like, we're getting the band back together. Go get Brian Berard again. What the hell are we doing, Mike?
Yeah, obviously Elliot Friedman today, 31 thoughts that it looks like there might have been a potential Zajac to the Islanders. Zajac has a no-trade clause. He nixed it. There was some back and forth today. We had some fun with it. People saying, you know, screw Zajac. He doesn't want to play for the Islanders. Listen, Travis Zajac has been a Devil's entire career. He's been there for 15 years. He's 34 years old. Whatever the deal is, he's in his mid-30s. The guy's been there his whole career. It's kind of hard for him to just turn around and say, screw you, and walk out the door. I get it. Now, listen, Vin, you know this. If on February, you know, 25th, we see Travis Zajac get traded to the Pittsburgh Penguins, then you know what? Then we can start cursing Travis Zajac. But, you know, actually, it seems like the consensus, nobody wants the guy anyway, like you. So, I mean, it is what it is.
They got to, look, Zajac's Majac. I don't care. They could trade for Pat Zajac. I don't care.
Well, right. You're one of the guys who've been at the front line here of, you know, this guy needs to make a trade. I don't care what it is. You know, that's kind of been your take here, here's all I'll say to you. I don't agree that acquiring Travis Zajac is the end-all, be-all, or the answer to any of the Islanders' problems, but I will say this. If that report is true, that does say to you, the crowd that really does not believe that Lou is doing anything, that at least he's doing something, whether you like it or not. He maybe does see that something needs to be done with this team.
Ironically, you and I were both killing it in the DMs. I'll pull the curtain back. We were both killing the Kovalchuk move, and that guy's coming like a house of fire.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad you brought it up. I'm sorry, Vin. You can't just say he would be doing the same thing here. You can't be saying it. Look at how much this team is running around right now for the last, you know, 6 weeks to 8 weeks. Not looking like themselves. Not playing their structure. Not getting 60-minute efforts. Not getting this. And you want to put a guy who, honestly, he's a me guy. He is a me guy. And you want to go put him in that spot, Vin? I can't do that either. I'm sorry. I know I asked you to give me guys. You can't give me Kovalchuk. You can't.
I got you, buddy. But my whole point here is there are guys in this lineup that I've seen enough of. They don't bring anything. I'm talking about 28.
Well,
you know,
that's why Lou tried to get you Travis Zajac, Finn. I mean, you know, that's.
If you're gonna go get me a scrub on the Devils, get me Miles Wood or get me the Coleman kid. I can pretend to play Coleman
kid. Oh, Vin. Vin, always love having you. Okay, we'll talk to you next time. Okay.
Be good.
All right, Vin. Finally, we go out to Manhattan. Mike is there. Mike, how are you, buddy?
All right, great. Good to talk to you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for calling. What do you got?
Well, first, I just wanted to say one thing. There's a lot of Islander podcasts out now, but this is always the first one I turn to, so thanks again.
Mike, I appreciate that, man. I really do. I know there's a lot out there. There's a lot of good ones, and thank you for always tuning in with me, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime. So I just wanted to talk about, you know, kind of where we are. I think, you know, as you know, I called in at the end of last season, and we spoke on the wrap-up show, and I was feeling a little bit more optimistic than I am now. Not that I'm pessimistic at this point, but I'm just kind of left wondering as to what's going to happen. When we went on that 15-0-2 run, you know, it looked like it was going to be easy and we're going to sail into the playoffs, and that you know, maybe we didn't have to make any moves, even though there were some shortcomings on the team. But you know, now I'm of the school of thought that if we don't make a move, this could be a situation where we don't even make the playoffs, which would be terrible. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen, but anybody who, you know, tells you, oh, we're fifth or sixth in the league overall, whatever, it's a lock. You know, you got to look at the teams up behind you because everybody's gaining on us. So it's important that we really get off to a good start in the second half. And it was, you know, kind of disappointing how the first half ended. I mean, it was good that we got that win against the Rangers yesterday, but man, that Washington game and the Rangers game before that, those are tough to take. Those are points that at the end of the season you can't help but wonder, are you going to be looking back saying, man, I wish we had those.
No, that's the thing, Mike. That's the hard part. And for me, it's just, you know, the consistency just has not been there heading into the break. It just hasn't. And there's been so many things that have been so uncharacteristic of what this team, well, you know, was the foundation of this team for all of last year and the first couple of months this year. It just seems like There's so many little things, whether it be dumb penalties or whether it be some bad structured play in their own defensive zone. There's just so many things that you never saw this team do that have all kind of crept in here in the last few weeks. And it's I'm with you. I mean, nothing is given here. I mean, absolutely nothing is given. I don't care if they're fifth in the NHL going into the All-Star break. This Metro's a dogfight. These teams are good. Are they all – listen, is Philly and Columbus going to stay as good as they've been for the whole year? I mean, who knows? You know, are the Islanders going to stay as good as they've been? For, you know, it is what it is going to be tight all the way to the end. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure, you know, the fans in Philly and the fans in Columbus are looking at us and they're saying, yeah, why can't we catch up?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they should be saying it, quite honestly.
They're saying the same thing.
Mikey, it's going to be very interesting here coming down the stretch because I think that they're a little stale. I think that they need a little shot in the arm, a little bit of a jolt. Even if it's small move, big move, I don't know at this point, but I just think they need a little bit of something right now because they've had some injuries. They've had some guys that are kind of sputtering. Some of the bigger guys have gotten going here right before the break. You've seen Bailey score a couple goals, but Villiers fill the net a little bit more. So they definitely could use more of that when they get started again in the second half. But really, Mike, it comes down to they need to get more consistent on D like they had been in the past. That's where it has to be right now.
Yeah, well, we didn't even talk about Pellick being
in. Which is a huge thing. It's a huge thing, Mike. It's huge that they're without him right now.
It would be nice if Hickey was healthy and you could kind of plug him in, have a
Yeah, you can give Dobson a break because it's a lot of pressure. I know he hasn't killed him. He hasn't killed him, but... you know, it'd be nice to have be able to put the veteran in here now and then, especially back-to-backs, et cetera, things like that. Mikey, great stuff. I really appreciate you calling in. We'll do it again soon.
Okay, great. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
My thanks to all the callers right there. Tremendous job by them as we hit the first half. And I got to tell you, I thought it would be a little bit more craziness, a little bit more upsetness. Maybe it's just me. Is it just me? You guys tell me. I don't know. I thought it would be a little bit more worried, a little bit more concerned. I'm getting there. I know that I'm usually the steady hand. I'm usually, especially since Barry Trotz has been here and Lou Lamoriello, I have been very right down the middle saying I trust everything that's happening here. This last week scared me, guys. It scared me. There's just so many things that you're watching on that ice that just don't make a lot of sense to me. And we covered a lot of it there. We did in the open. We did with the callers. So I think you know where everybody stands right now as we get ready for a second half. We brought up the Zajac thing a little bit. I think that it just tells you that it maybe gives you hope, whether you wanted the guy here or not, which I think the majority of people probably hear the name Travis Zajac and they go, you know, how does that help? I think the one thing that it does to you is it makes you at least maybe think that Lou is trying, that Lou's working on something or trying to see the same things that a lot of us see, that this team needs another piece. You know, Lou's actually looking. You know, that's a bad salary, which is scary. I mean, hopefully the Devils were picking up a little bit of that cash if that deal was really going to go through from the Elliott Friedman 31 Thoughts article today. But we'll see. As we get closer, we've said it enough. Team needs a jolt. There's no question about that. So 10 days off now, we know this. They will come back off of this break with three games at the Barclays Center against three Western Conference teams, Vancouver, Dallas, and L.A. Winnable games, as we know. And hopefully the batteries are recharged. And hopefully maybe a tweak here and there. I doubt it. You know, I'm pretty beaten down, as we've heard a bunch tonight, about things actually happening as much as I think that they need it. Maybe a tweak here or there. We'll see. A lot of road games, man. After those three games at the Barclays, down to Tampa and Washington for a couple games. Not easy. Home for Philly at the Barclays, too. And then the monster February. There's two monster road trips left this year. One in February and one in March. And the February one is big. Nashville, Vegas, Arizona, Colorado. So a lot of work to be done and a lot of road games to do it. The monster Western Canadian trip is in the middle of March, as we know. And they, of course, had to tack in a trip to Pittsburgh at the end of that. So that was nice of the NHL schedule makers. But we got a long way to go before we get to that moment. Either way, they come back, three teams, Western Conference, all at the Barclays. Opportunities there, rested, refreshed. We'll see what happens. We're getting closer here to February 15th, too. Offside Tavern, we will be there. Islanders and Vegas Golden Knights, like we just said, that road trip. That'll be a 10:30 game. We will be there around 8 o'clock. We'll do the pregame show. We've got some things lined up. Going to be a lot of fun. So we are just a few weeks away, February 15th, Offside Tavern. I hope to see everybody there that night. And another thing before we get out of here, you know, there's could be some potential. You know, I'm going to say changes. That's what I will say. Some of you have seen on Twitter. Some of you maybe have not. Big life event here for me as I'm going to be going with Scott Farrell. Of course, you know, I've been with Scott Farrell and CBS Sports Radio for the past few years. I'm going to be going with him to his new venture. He's going to Sports Grid. It's a television gambling station. It is. We're going to be doing the show out of the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands all week, and it's going to be different. My hours are going to change, things like that. So I'm not saying that the Aisle Seat Podcast is going away. I am not saying that. I am going to say that times that I do it, when I can do it, some of the things I can do, you know, there could be some adjustment here for a little while once I start this new gig. And there could be some focus, especially a lot of focus, all of it at the beginning when I start this new gig. So we're going to be going to Sports Grid TV. I'll be tweeting out plenty of places to watch the show, whether it be on the Sports Grid app, YouTube, Zumo, Pluto, and maybe some other places as well. So it's a big move for us. Going to TV, going to be doing gambling. It's going to be a lot of fun. And not saying the Aisle Seat Podcast is leaving. I'm just saying that it could be a little different schedule-wise and when I get things out. When am I doing another one right now? Before they play Vancouver next Saturday. That's what I'll tell you. At some point next week, we will get a second half preview along the way to you. We will do that. But big move, lot to do. Just let you guys know, we've got that cooking as well. So that's big on the on our front here. And that's that for this one. You know, we're going to wrap this up. First half, everybody enjoy the 10 days off. You might need it after those couple games. Sure, as we said a billion times, Barry and the guys clearly need it. So everybody rest up. Enjoy the All-Star game this weekend. If you're Matt Barzell, don't get hurt. That's pretty much all you could say. And we'll see all the fellas back next Saturday against the Canucks at the Barclays Center. My thanks, as always, to the sponsors, Oakwood Automation, Bright Building Services, Santorini Restaurant, the Main Street Board Game Cafe, and Accurate Precast Corporation. They take care of us. Please take care of them. Get your Aisle Seat Podcast t-shirts at yesmenoutfitters.com. Everybody can breathe a little bit. Enjoy the break with No Islander Hockey, and we'll see you guys next week. Mike Carver, the Aisle Seat Podcast. See you then.